I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. To get a better understanding of today's feast, the Feast of the Holy Name, I would like to start off with a story from the Old Testament. This certain story where Moses, he was tending to the sheep of his father-in-law. His father-in-law, his name was Jethro. And Moses is there tending the sheep, and he brings the sheep to the bottom of Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is also called the Mountain of God in the Old Testament. So Moses brings the sheep there, and then Moses kind of goes up this mountain a little bit, Mount Horeb, the Mountain of God. And here he sees, and this is the part we probably remember, he sees a burning bush. And on the burning bush, well, in encompassing the burning bush, he sees that it's on fire, but it's not consumed by the fire. And here, you remember, this is where God spoke to Moses. And God revealed to him his name. This name that God spoke to Moses was composed of four Hebrew letters. In English, to our ears, it sounds like Jehovah. There are other variations of that. But it was four letters that spelled that out, the way we put it together. But it was four letters, and it means, strictly, the name that God gave to Moses means, I am who am. That is the name that God told Moses to go tell the Hebrews, the Israelites, who it was that sent Moses. Moses wanted to be able to tell them who it was. And so he went back and told them, his name is I am who am. Now that name carries a very special meaning because it can only be applied to God. That name absolutely has to mean God. I am who am means an all-perfect, all-powerful, self-existing being. That can only be descriptive words of God. And this gives us a glimpse into today's feast, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. Because the name, Jesus, literally means, in Hebrew, God saves, God Savior. That is the meaning of the name. That name can only be applied to one, our Lord, of course. And it's a very powerful name. And we're presented with this today on the Feast of the Holy Name. That his name, just like in the Old Testament, the name, I am who I am, explains who God is and what he does. He's the author of all creation and he's self-existing and creates. Christ, the name Jesus, signifies who he is and what he does. He's God and he is our Savior. He came to save us from our sins. And so we should reflect today, especially on this point, I think. The Israelites, the Hebrews, once they received that name from Moses, they would not repeat that name. They would not say Jehovah. They would not say it because of that's how high and high regard they held the holy name of God, Almighty God. They would not even pronounce the name. So they used other words. They used Adonai and Elohim, which are actually plural words applied to singular God, which is very interesting with regard to language, that they used a plural word to describe God singular. It signifies the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. That's the meaning of that. But they would use other words when they spoke about God. Similarly, how we use Christ or our Lord in reference for his true name, Jesus, God Savior. So we should reflect today. Do I hold in the same esteem? Do I honor the name that God has given to us? Do I honor Jesus' name as the Israelites honored the name that God gave to them through Moses? Do we hold it with the same amount of devotion and veneration? There's other details in that story with Moses on Mount Horeb that are very interesting. Moses, like I said, he takes the sheep to Mount Horeb. And if you take the symbolism there, Moses, he's a symbol of Christ. Because our Lord is the Good Shepherd, of course, and the sheep, he says he leads us who are the sheep, and we belong to the Father. So he's also to Christ, as he's God as well. He's God, but he's leading us to the Father. That's his whole mission. And so it's the same symbolism. He's leading us to the mountain of God, or leading us to heaven. But it's also interesting, with that symbolism in mind, the symbolism of the burning bush. Sometimes it's kind of interesting, or it seems odd. Why would God appear in this way? Why would he communicate to Moses in this seemingly strange way? Why would he do this? Well, there's a very beautiful symbolism here, and it makes a lot of sense. There's a footnote in the Douay-Rheims Bible with this quote, and the Lord appeared, that's talking about where it is in Exodus, and the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. There's a footnote there under, and the Lord appeared, and the footnote explains that, well, if God appeared, if it was Almighty God, God the Father that appeared, that would theologically constitute the beatific vision. And that's not possible, strictly speaking, because that would mean that Moses died and he's in heaven at that moment. So when it says, and the Lord appeared, once again it uses that word Lord, which is the translation of the word Adonai, which is Lord, that and the Lord appeared, it means that an angel was speaking on behalf of God, that God spoke his name through the messenger, and the messenger communicated it to Moses. If it's the other way around, that then it doesn't work theologically. That's what the footnote says in the Bible. But in that is something very interesting. And it ties into Our Lady in the New Testament. That the way God revealed his name to Moses, through the instrument of an angel, you could say, the same exact thing happens in the New Testament. God, Christ, he reveals his name, the name of the Savior, through the messenger Gabriel. At the incarnation, that is where we see in today's gospel that his name was given at that moment, before he was even conceived in the womb. That was the name that was given to him. Signifies who he is and what he does. And just as the bush that Moses was there, that's on fire, it's burning, but it's not burned up. It's not consumed by the fire. We have to understand something about fire. Fire symbolizes the divinity. In the Old Testament, we reflect that the fire, there's the pillar of cloud that led the Israelites out of Egypt, and there was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The fire symbolizes the presence of God. Likewise, the fire of the burning bush. And then we see in the New Testament the same symbolism is there with Our Lady. God, the presence of God, God himself, Christ, is now present in Mary in the incarnation. The divinity is there. The fire of God's presence is there. But Mary, she remains a virgin. It's the same exact thing. It's very beautiful. The fathers of the church made this connection, and they wrote about it in the very early days of the church, the first couple hundred years. Many quotations from the fathers making this connection between Moses and Our Lady. But these scriptural examples, they are all food for thought, basically, to really solidify the idea in our mind of how important is the name of our Savior. How important it is that we use his name. It's different in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was rather out of fear they would not speak it. But now, in the New Testament, we're actually commanded to use it. We have to do, just as we see in the Acts of the Apostles, that every cure that the apostles worked was done in the name of Christ. Using his holy name. Everything is done in his name. Just as for us in our own personal lives, everything that we do, every decision that we make, should be done in his name. As we call ourselves Christians, we bear Christ's name. Every action that we do, we should start it, begin it, and finish as well with the name of our Lord on our lips. And it's very interesting, the concept of prayer applied to the name of Jesus, and how that is the perfect prayer. Why is that? Well, it fulfills all three conditions When we pronounce the name of our Lord, we fulfill all the conditions required for making an act of faith, an act of hope, and an act of charity. Just by pronouncing the name. That's it. We make an act of faith, hope, and charity. How does that work? Many times we think to ourselves that we have to spend a long time in prayer. Well, that's wrong. It is sometimes good that we spend much time in prayer, but the true way to calculate prayer, if you could calculate prayer mathematically, prayer is calculated by intensity, by the amount of love. It's not calculated by time, per se, just like you could pray however long but not pay any attention to it at all. It's not worth much of anything. But a single word, using the name of our Lord and Savior, using his name with faith and devotion, that can be more powerful than something that's very haphazardly done. So basically, we have no excuse to not pray. There's always time to pray. Everything we do should be a prayer. When we state the name of our Savior, it's an act of faith. We're saying who he is and what he does, and what does that mean for us, our soul? That's an act of faith, supernatural act of faith. We're saying, I believe you are the Son of God, you are the Savior of the world. That's an act of faith, just by proclaiming his name. We should have the practical habit in our daily life of bowing our head every time we hear his name. Or if any time we hear someone speak in irreverent manner the name of our Savior, we should call that person out, and we should do reparation for that, and we should correct that error. We're actually called to do that many times in many recent popes in recent history and in history of this time. We don't have time to go into that, but they've said we have to make reparation for blasphemies committed against the Holy Name. So that's that. It's an act of faith. The second, when we say the name of our Savior, it's an act of hope. It's a pure act of hope. We're not placing our hope in ourselves and our abilities. Our hope is purely in Christ, that he is the Savior. He is the one who, when we do a simple action, we can merit to buy it because he opened the gates of heaven and allowed us to be able to merit in the first place. That is, he is our hope. And so when we say his name, it's the perfect act of hope. In moments of temptation, trial, despair, whatever, we should repeat the name of Jesus. It's a pure act of hope. And then finally, it's a pure act of charity as well. We increase in grace simply by saying the name of our Savior. And we can do that as often as we want. It's a very beautiful thing. It's an act of love. The more you familiarize with someone, we know this in the natural world, the more you know someone, the more you want to be around them, the more you repeat their name in your head of that person who you love. Same thing with our Lord. The more he's on your mind and his name is on your lips, the more you express your love for him. The saints very much understood this concept, that all the saints desired in their day-to-day life to die, and many of them, you could say all of them did, die with the name of our Savior on their lips. And that didn't just happen. That was because they had the habit of doing it. They had that union. They had that love pre-existing, and that was always there. That was the habit that they did, that they loved our Lord so much. And that's what we should do as well. We should not wait to start that habit. We should start that now. We want to die with the name of Jesus on our lips. That's actually one of the points with regard to the apostolic blessing given by the priest at the moment of death that the plenary indulgence takes happens, you could say, at the moment of death when the priest gives the apostolic blessing when someone is sick and dying. One of the points that he mentions to the dying person is to repeat the name of Jesus over and over and over on their lips. That is the point to be made and given to that person as the priest gives them that blessing. So let us keep these things in mind, and let us leave today and this feast today with a renewed devotion to the Holy Name. The Holy Name of Jesus is more than just a word. It is literally the name of the word of God. the Son of God. It is the ultimate name. It is the perfect prayer. It fulfills all the conditions for an act of faith, hope, and charity. So let us start, if we've been neglectful in this area, start by praying always with this name on our lips. Let it be for us an increase of faith, hope, and charity. And let that be the final word on our lips as we enter into eternity, where we'll be happy with God forever. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.